The following is a training session for Enterprise Mauritius, given by His Grace Shriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 13th, 2012, in Port Louis, Mauritius.
Vandeham. Shri Guru. Shri Jatha Parakamalam. Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamritam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
So, we have gotten this very special birth. It is called the human form of life. There are so many species all around us. In the ocean, there are the aquatics. In the sky, there are the birds. On the land, there are the insects, the reptiles, the plants, the beasts. We human beings are actually a minority on this planet. But the human beings, out of all the species, have been endowed with a very special intelligence, unique to all the species. We have a unique ability which is not found in any other species. The birds are very expert at flying in the sky, the fish at swimming in the water. But our expertise is actually to inquire about the relationship between the individual self and the Supreme Self. A dog cannot ask such questions, or a cat, or a tree. But a human being can inquire, who am I? Where have I come from? What is the purpose of my existence? This ability to inquire about the meaning of life is very unique to the human being. Our modern day society doesn't encourage this sort of inquiry. They say, if a child asks the parents will say, just don't worry about it now, just do good in school. And later on you can think about it. Because the parents don't know the answer, they give bluff like them. But if we hear from the great revealed scriptural wisdom of the world. Is it? If we hear from self-realized spiritual masters, then we can get to the answers to these questions. And these fundamental questions are very, very essential for becoming truly happy as human beings. In other words, there's the inner self and there's the outer self. The outer self is temporary. Just like right now I'm wearing this chadar, you see. It's an outer covering. I can take off this chadar and I'm still the same person. The self has not changed, although the covering is now removed, you see. So the outer self means this body. And this body is always changing, but the self remains the same. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumaram jovanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tatra namuhyati. As the embodied soul continues passing within this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So we are talking today about how to become a self-realized soul. Human life means actually that one should become a self-realized soul, because then one actually connects the inner self with the supreme self. One then no longer misidentifies the outer self or the covering of the self as being the actual self. You see, in our present modern day society, we are trained to take the body or the outer covering of the self or the outer self to be the actual self. From the very beginning, we're trained in this way. When we come out of the womb, what do we hear? It's a boy. It's a girl. We're immediately taught to identify with this flesh and blood, which is just a covering of the self. And as we grow up, what do we hear? Be a good little boy. Be a good little girl. Isn't it? We're constantly throughout the life taught to think that this flesh and blood is me. But if you analyze it scientifically, that doesn't make sense. Because, for example, I can remember when I was a little tiny boy. I don't know how old I was, but very small. One day I decided to take out and explore the world. I didn't ask, I didn't tell my mother, I just walked out the door to explore what was out there. And there was a railroad track. Now, I remember walking down the railroad track. Now, for a little baby who doesn't know anything what a train is, that's very dangerous. I remember I went out, I walked down the railroad track, and I'd seen enough that I walked back to the house. My mother was so relieved that I'd come back because I disappeared from the house. She had no idea where I was. Now, where is that body that walked down the railroad track? Where are the atoms and the molecules that walked down that railroad track? They're long gone. You see? The body that walked down the railroad track, that's finished. It's those atoms and molecules are a long time gone from me. But yet I remember that experience as a small child, you see. So the actual self is the self within, not the outer self or the body. Because the outer self is constantly changing. But the inner self is remaining permanently, eternally. So just as within this body, the outer self changes or the body changes and the inner self remains the same, similarly at the time of death, when your outer self dies, your body dies, you, the inner self, continue to exist. And according to your state of consciousness, when you leave that body, the outer self, you get another body. So the human life is actually meant, just like if you're in the university, what's the goal? To get that degree, and maybe you want to go for a higher degree and a higher degree, you see, to move up the academic ladder. So actually this human life is meant for progressive development of consciousness. So that when you leave this particular body, you can become better situated in your next life. You see, that's what human life is meant for. And if you perfect it, then you can, upon leaving this body, achieve a spiritual body, which never gets sick, which never gets old, and never dies. Whatever body we may have in this world, it's always going to be limited by birth, death, old age, and disease. in the Vedas, we read that there are higher planets. Our scientists have not discovered all this yet. Of course, they know there are other planets, but what's going on out there, they don't know. In the Vedas, we understand there's a planet called Brahmaloka, where Lord Brahma, who is the engineer of the whole universe, resides. Brahma has tremendous power of cognition. He has tremendous facility for enjoyment beyond our wildest dreams. He has facilities. But yet, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Abharma bhuvanalo kunar avartin arjuna mam upechita kaunteya punarjanma navidyate. From the highest planet in this material world, the planet of Brahma, down to the most hellish planet, that's called Patalaloka, every place is miserable. So, the point is that to actually realize the inner self and its relationship with the Supreme Self qualifies you to enter into an abode which is completely free of all misery, and at the same time, it's not you have to wait for death to actually achieve that exalted state of consciousness. Even now in your present situation, you can become liberated from all anxieties, even right now. What is the example of this? That is Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was in great anxiety about doing his duty. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he understood, I should do my duty and offer the results to Krishna or God. So that is the secret of actually how to achieve happiness. Instead of just acting for myself, you see, act for the pleasure of the Supreme Self. This is actually the goal in any religious system, whether it's Islam, Christianity, Judaism, or Hinduism, or Buddhism. This is actually the goal of every religious system. The individual self acts for the pleasure of the Supreme Self. So what is the result of doing that? The result is you become connected with the Supreme Self. That connection with the Supreme Self brings one into a state of great happiness. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanchamrichati. Krishna says, for one who understands me as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend, they achieve unlimited happiness. So if we understand the Supreme Self, according to our own religion, as Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, according to one's own religious background or one's philosophical understanding. If one understands that that Supreme Person, the source of all existence, is the Supreme Owner, Supreme Enjoyer, and the best friend, then you can achieve unlimited happiness. This is called dovetailing the individual consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. If one can act in harmony, you see, with the Supreme Self, then you become in a state of perfect happiness. This is the key. Instead of acting selfishly, one masters the art of acting selflessly. This is what it boils down to. If one acts for the interest of the Supreme Person, the Supreme Self, then automatically one acts for the best self-interest of all living entities. If one acts for the best interest of the Supreme Self, then you act as the best servant of your country, the best servant of your family, the best servant of your friends, best servant of even your enemies, and the best servant of yourself. We are not meant to be disconnected from the Supreme. Well, you're meant to be connected with the Supreme. In this age, it is recommended the way to connect with the Supreme is through reciting the names of the Supreme. And Allah, and Buddhists can chant the name of Allah, a Christian can chant the name of Christ, a Krishnite can chant the Hare Krishna mantra. According to your own tradition or your own philosophical understanding, one should vibrate the name of the Supreme. Just like it's in the Bible, Lord Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That name of the Supreme, whichever name, according to your religious tradition, you cherish, that name has great power. So if one will regularly vibrate that name as a daily meditation, that will actually connect you with the Supreme Person. And when you're connected with the Supreme Person, you're connected with everything. Just like now we have the internet, you see. When you're online, you're connected with a huge world, the cyber world. But the cyber world is very tiny, insignificant. There's a much greater cyber world, and that is the cyber world of God, the Supreme. When you become connected, when you're online with the Supreme Person, then you're absolutely connected with everything. Connected with yourself, with your country, with the whole universe. You're connected with everything. So in our Krishna Consciousness Movement, we chant this particular mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in a regular daily meditation. And discipline of every day connecting ourselves with the Supreme brings us into a state of great happiness. It enables us to actually see things as they are. You see, our tendency is to misidentify ourselves with the outer covering, the material body, which is not the actual self. We have a tendency to do that. So by acting only for the interest of the outer covering of the self, we actually misplace our energies. And therefore, we see so much frustration in the world society. People engaged in criminal activities, people engaged in terrorist activities, people acting in very selfish, angry, confused ways. It's simply due to the fact they're not connected with the Supreme. The Supreme Person, when one truly connects with that Supreme Person, one develops all saintly qualities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a list of 26 qualities of a saintly person. The Vaishnava, the devotee of the Supreme. So when you actually daily absorb yourself, connect yourself with the Supreme Person, the result is you become a saintly person. You develop all good qualities. You become a selfless servant of everyone. You see? In other words, we try to get happiness in material consciousness. We try to get happiness by being selfish. There's an illusion that if you can be very greedy and successful materially, you become happy. But nobody ever became happy by becoming greedy, you know, money hungry, power hungry. No one ever became happy by doing that. Never. The truly happy people are those who actually connect with the Supreme in love, loving relationship. Because when you love God, automatically you love all living entities. And the more you actually love, the more you become satisfied. Just like the classic example in the English literature, there was a book by Dickens called The Christmas Carol. There was a famous story of Ebenezer Scrooge. He was a miser, and he was miserable. You see? Not the connection between miser and miserable. The more you become selfish, the more you become miserly, the more you become miserable. So when he became in the mood of giving, instead of the mood of just hoarding, then he became happy. So the point is, the more you can be in the mood of giving and of serving, that's why you become happy. And when you can perfect that giving and serving mood by giving and serving the Supreme, then you achieve unlimited peace and happiness. It's just like when you eat, every part of your body requires nourishment, isn't it? If I cut my finger, then something has to go in there to reconnect the skin, to bring it back to a healthy state. So every part of the body requires energy and nutrition to function properly. So when I eat, what do? Do I fill up my bathtub with some soup and I get in there and soak it up? I get in the bathtub of soup and soak it up through my skin? No. I put the soup in my mouth and then it goes to the belly and the belly distributes it to every part of the body. So the Supreme Person, God or the Supreme Self, is like the belly of the universe. When you give your loving service to the Supreme, then automatically you give the best service to Mauritius, to yourself, to all living entities. So this is a very practical thing. Another example is the tree. How do you water the tree? By putting water all over the leaves? No, you water the root. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and all the branches become nourished, isn't it? So when you give your loving service to the Supreme Person, to God, the Supreme Self, the Universal Self, I'm not talking a particular religion here. I'm not pushing religion. I'm talking about the science of connecting the individual self with the Supreme Self. When you do that, then, just like feeding the belly or watering the root of the tree, then everything becomes benefited. Everything becomes benefited. You become the best citizen of Mauritius, the best husband, the best boss, the best worker, whatever your position is, you become the best. You perfect them. When you give your loving service to the Supreme, then automatically you become perfect in everything that you do. So I have some questions here. We'll go ahead and start taking these questions. In this materialistic world, it seems difficult to be selfless. The whole world is, how can we give? How can we give more? Some advice, please. Yeah. As soon as you give your service to the Supreme, you become the best service. You see, the trouble is, in this world, we give service, but we're abused sometimes when we do them. We feel cheated. But that's the beauty of giving your service to the Supreme, to God or the Supreme Person. God will not cheat. You give your loving service to God, you will get perfect reciprocation. You will never be cheated in any way. So take your tendency to want to serve, to be selfless, and repose it in the Supreme Person, the Supreme Self, and you'll get perfect reciprocation. God can, or the Supreme Person can personally perfectly reciprocate. So that's the easy solution. Many people pray out of fear or wants. Is it the way to be close to Krishna, or is it important to have the right attitude and a righteous heart? Yeah, we have a tendency to pray to God, give me this, give me that. But we really forget how big and how powerful He is. When you were a kid, growing up in your house, did you tell your parents, Mommy, or ask your parents, Mommy and Dad, will you feed me today? Any of you ever ask your parents, will you feed me today? No. even though our parents don't own, ever didn't own the whole world, still they're going to make sure their children are well fed. So we don't have to pester the Supreme Person, give me this and give me that. If the child says, Mother and Father, how can I serve you? That gives the greatest pleasure to the parents. I see. So if we approach the Supreme and offer ourselves in the service of that Supreme, then we get the best reciprocation. The Supreme knows what we need. We don't have to pester him with our shopping list. Just approach the Supreme and offer service, and you'll be amazed at what comes in your life. I guarantee you. Try this. Offer yourself as a servant of that Supreme Person and just see what happens to your life. Instead of praying, God, give me this, give me that, say, Dear Lord, please bless me with the understanding of how I can best serve you and please you. Just try this. Tomorrow morning when you get up, pray to God in this way. And just see what happens to your life. You'll be amazed what kind of a day you have. You'll be absolutely amazed. During one lifetime, can two persons swap their inner self? No. The inner self is you are your, that inner self is you, and that's it. You can't switch it with someone else. How can a person know thyself and be free from all miseries? The recommended system in all the scriptures is to chant the names of God on a regular basis. Not in a mood of asking something from God, but giving one's loving service to the Supreme. That's the recommended system. Mauritius has just adopted a legislation in abortion. According to Krishna consciousness, you tell us when life is conceived. So, from the Vedic wisdom, we understand that the living entity is actually present within the semina of the male, and when he is injected into the womb of the woman, then he develops a body. So, abortion then is actually murder. So it's not very good to legalize abortion, because you're actually killing a living being. But that's the modern trend. It shows that people are getting further and further away from understanding the actual science of the self. What is your interpretation of the 21st of December, 2012? Let's see how many days that is from now. Today's the 13th, so it's about 8 days away. If you think the world's coming to an end on the 21st, then go ahead and give me all your money. You won't need it if the world's coming in. Just give me all your money. Yeah, I'm very happy if you believe in the 21st of December. Give me all your money and I'll, you know. Some people pray and love God, and on the other hand, they kill people in the name of God. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, one who actually loves God loves all living beings. You see? Say, I love God and I'm going to kill you. That's not love of God. And see, such a person doesn't love God. It's like, if you love a person, you'll love his children also, isn't it? If you really love your next door neighbor, you'll love his kids too, isn't it? Say, I love you, but I'm going to kill your kids. I mean, that's ridiculous. I love God, but I hate his children. I'm going to kill them. So one who says that they love God, in the name of God, they're going to kill people, is the most misguided, confused rascal you could ever imagine. And really, in the name of God, they do the most ungodly acts, you see. Godliness means saintliness. If you're actually a lover of God, then you will be the humble servant of all living beings. Even a little ant you will not want to disturb. A saintly person won't even step on an ant. You'll be very careful not to step on an ant, you see. That is a saintly person, God-conscious person. Okay, what are the limits of self-realization? It's actually unlimited. There are no limits. Of course, you can never become the Supreme Person, but you become one in purpose with the Supreme Person. Some people say that self-realization means you become God. But actually, God is always God. He never forgets that he's God. So it's not that by becoming self-realized you become God, but you become one in purpose with God. If you were to tell Hanuman, Hanuman, that, my dear Hanuman, I'm going to give you a mantra and you can become Ram, would he like that? No. He would take his tail and give you a big, he will zap you with his tail. Wham! Me become Ram? What are you talking about? You see, he would never accept this idea that he can become Lord Ram. You see, he wants to serve Lord Ram. He doesn't want to become Lord Ram. He wants to serve Sita Ram, not that I become Ram and I can enjoy Sita. He would be so angry if you proposed to him, I will give you a mantra and you can become Ram. He would never accept. So, the limit of self-realization is you don't become God, but you become the dearmost servant of God. That's self-realization. How meditation is linked to self-realization. There's many systems of self-realization, but in this particular age we're in, called the Kali Yuga, you see, to meditate on the holy names of God is the prescribed system of self-realization. There are other systems that were practiced in previous yugas. the Ashtanga Yoga system, you know, asanas, pranayama, etc. But that's not practical in this age, because one has to do that as a full-time thing. You can't work a job, you can't have a family. You have to just sit in the forest and do pranayama and asanas for the rest of your life. That's all you can do. You see. So that's not a very practical system in this age. If everybody went to the forest and did asanas, you see, and did pranayama, then who would run the country? You see, how would things go on? How would we eat? You see. So that is not that yoga system is not practical in this age. It was practiced in the Satya Yuga when everything was, it was like the Garden of Eden on this planet. Everything was there. You didn't need to grow any food. It was all coming naturally. But now we have to actually, you know, plant things, grow them, harvest them, etc. And therefore this yoga system isn't practical. We need something where we can do our work, at the same time we can meditate. It's like Arjuna, he did his work. But he did it for this purpose, the pleasure of the Supreme. To be a self-realized person, should we change his faith or religion to Krishna consciousness only? No. We don't say you have to convert to become a Krishnite. If you're a Buddhist, become a perfect Buddhist. If you're a Muslim, be a perfect Muslim. If you're a Christian, become perfect Christian by becoming the selfless servant of God. We never say you have to convert. That is not our teaching method. Whatever your position is, become perfect by developing pure love for that Supreme Person. For someone who has already achieved good success in this material world and wants to know how to get connected with his Lord, will his love to this material world be a barrier for him to start and embark his spiritual life? Can these two loves go together? Well, actually, it's stated in the Isha Upanishad, part of the Vedic wisdom, vidyam cha vidyam yastadvedo bhyam saha avidyam yatam tirdva vidyam yatam ashnute. Only one who knows the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and achieve the full blessings of immortality. This is mantra number 11 of the Isha Upanishad. So there's nothing wrong with material life. You just take it, it's two parallel lines on the chart. You see? Just like here, you have the department, the import, you have a part to help the economy of this country. It's not that you have to abandon this to become self-realized. No, Arjuna didn't abandon his duty. You do your duty and connect it with the Supreme, and that way you become perfect. What is the Bhagavad Gita say? Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Patra Dhanurdhanaha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir Dhrivadatir Matirmama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. So, if you adopt this mood of offering everything to the Supreme, if this department has that mood together, you all have this mood of connecting with the Supreme by your service, then you will bring all opulence to this country. Shir, tatra shir, victory, you'll have all victory, extraordinary power and morality. So if your department wants to have opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and high moral principles, you see, then if each one of you, according to your own religious background, can offer your life in service to the Supreme, as a department, you'll achieve this. Opulence, victory, extraordinary morality, extraordinary power and morality. Formerly, when India was very much perfect in following the Vedic wisdom, which is no longer. In those days, India was the most wealthy place in the whole world. I read the writings of Marco Polo, a European trader who went to India. He said, this is the wealthiest place in the whole world. And one Indian, I mean to say, Britisher reported what it was like in India. He said he didn't see a beggar anywhere. It was high moral principles, and everything he described what India was like many centuries ago, you see. So those are the former times when Vedic principles were being followed very strictly, and people were very much surrendered to following the teachings of the scriptures, you see. As we become more materialistic, then you find poverty, then you find immorality, then you find criminal activities. You find people becoming unhealthy, disease. These things are all due to greed. But if we can reconnect with the Supreme, then everything auspicious will be there. All wealth will be there, power, victory, everything will come. Some people chant the Hare Krishna mantra in the reverse way. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Actually, whichever way you start, once you get going, it's the same thing anyway. If you're in a room and you're chanting, and you were chanting, you know, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, and I walked in the room, and there's two people both chanting Hare Krishna Hare, and Hare Rama. And one of them started with the Ram, the other started with the Krishna. I wouldn't know the difference. Because once you get rolling, it's the same thing. You're alternating back and forth between the two. So it's not really a big issue. Although we would chant Krishna first, because the incarnation of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to introduce this Maha Mantra, he chanted Hare Krishna first. In many places in the scripture, Hare Krishna is first. So that we follow that. But either way, it's not a big deal, because it's just, once you get rolling, it's all the same anyway. You're alternating between these two things. It's like on your car windshield wiper, which way did it go first? Doesn't matter, because it's going back and forth and cleaning your windshield. We'll say, did it start to the right or the left first? Who cares? It's going back and forth and it's cleaning your windshield. So whether you start with Krishna or Rama, either way you're cleaning the mirror of your heart. You're cleaning away the dirt from your heart by chanting the names of God. For someone who has already achieved... Oh, let's see here. Oh, yeah, I already answered them. Okay. All right. There is a lot of talk and speculation going around this end of the world, about the end of the world on the 21st of December. Yeah, I already answered that one. Just sign over all your wealth. I, I know you don't want to be burdened with any wealth when the world comes to an end. Just sign it all over to me. It is often said that only during the sannyasa and vanaprastha ashram you can concentrate or better devote his time in spirituality in connection to the Lord. This means they haven't read the Bhagavad Gita carefully, because Arjuna was not a vanaprastha, he was not a sannyasi, he was a married man, and he was a working man. And he was the prime recipient of Bhagavad Gita. So don't tell me you have to be a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. You can be a working man. He was a very hard-working man. He was very successful working man. Because he offered the result of his work to Krishna. In other words, whatever success he had, he understood this is Krishna's mercy, therefore it's offered Krishna. You see? Okay, is that it? Any more questions? Do you have a question? Someone maybe you can repeat it to me.
This is just my soul like the Arjuna, who be the close devotee of Krishna, was so much confused at that point of time. So what about us?
She can repeat it. I can't understand. I can never hear you anyway.
He's saying that Arjuna is the working hard man, and he was so close to Krishna. And he, at that time, when he was to fight the battle, he was very confused.
That's right. You see, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he was thinking of his own self-interest. If I kill all my relatives on the battlefield, who will I invite over the palace on the weekend to celebrate the victory, you see? He was thinking of his own enjoyment, and therefore he was confused. He was thinking of his own self-interest. But as soon as he laid aside that thought and just did what Krishna wanted, then he became free of all confusion. So the point is, as long as we're selfish, we're just thinking of ourselves, we're going to be confused. When you become selfless, you think, what does God want? And then the confusion goes away. That's the point. As long as you just think for yourself, you're going to be confused. When you think about what is the Supreme One, then you become free of all confusion. This process works. You can do it. Each one of us can follow the footsteps of Arjuna and become self-realized in our occupational duties. You just have to... Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, Satatang Kirtayanto Mam, always chant my glories. So if you can rise every morning and meditate on the Supreme Lord according to your own religious faith or your philosophical understanding, dedicate yourself as a servant of the Supreme. Pray that you can do everything for His satisfaction instead of your own. Then you will achieve unlimited satisfaction. But as long as I try to satisfy myself and say, oh, I don't care what God wants, I'm just going to satisfy myself, you will never be satisfied, never. Even if you become the prime minister or a wealthy billionaire, you'll never be satisfied. But when you dovetail your desires with the desires of the Supreme, doesn't matter what your position is, you become completely self-satisfied. Anything else? Is my talk was okay?
Very good.
I'm very happy to be back here. And Krishna consciousness belongs in this science of bhakti, which is a universal non-sectarian science. It should be taught in every government institution in the world. So I'm very happy to come to this government office to give you guidance how you can perfect your governmental department. See, this is some practical thing. Every governmental department in the world can take advantage of this science and make their department successful. So I'm very happy to help you all, to give you the guidance on how you can be very successful department. and how each of the members can be very successful both as a team member in the department and in their own spiritual life. So if that's it, we can stop here. And I have my card here, those who would like to get on my free e-course. And you want to pass out these cards. Anybody who wants to get on my free e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course, just hold up your hand and we'll give you one of these cards here. You can always... I hope there's enough to go around. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.